then crouton?
It's Word Salad with Amelia Discreet, only on 95BFM.
Kia ora, Amelia. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing all right.
That's good to hear.
I'm feeling juicy.
Feeling juicy. Is this because of the topic we're talking about today?
Yeah, it is largely. I'm like, am I going to get in trouble for having opinions today? But
they're mostly
just me saying facts that most people don't know. So.
All right, cool. What are we talking about in the world of words?
So today we're going to be talking about banned books.
Awesome.
And specifically banned books in New Zealand.
Okay, I like that because I feel like the scope of banned books is huge.
Yeah.
Depending on your political regime and your, you know, religious background or whatever. So New Zealand's a good parameter.
Because I feel like people kind of have this vague idea about books being set on fire. And then, kind of, you know, people burning Beatles records and stuff.
Drama.
But I think without knowing about what books have been banned and for what reasons, we're kind of doomed to repeat history.
All right.
Like, so the kind of the big example of this is that all those Nazi book burning photos.
Yeah.
The books they were burning in those photos were from the, like, this Berlin Institute for Research into Sexuality and Gender. So they're burning all of these books about, like, the latest research into trans people.
Yes.
And then a lot of people don't know about that. And so in 2019, the most banned book in American libraries is a book called George. And the reason given for it being banned was, this is the American Library Association.
Oh, God.
It was believed to encourage children to clear browser history and change their bodies using hormones. Something which, let me tell you, is unavoidable. For mentioning dirty magazines, describing male anatomy, creating confusion, and including a transgender character.
So just basically some discrimination going on there.
But it's like, if banning things is great because if people don't know about stuff, they can't do stuff.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's very interesting. And New Zealand is a country that has extremely restrictive speech laws, which I think people don't really... We live in it, so we don't really get it.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
The fact that in New Zealand you can't name your child whatever you want is considered kind of crazy overseas.
Was it the Tallulah does the hula? Was that the classic
example? Yeah, but there was also a child, the parents wanted to call it For Real with a number four.
It's a cool name.
Yeah, it is cool. They were on the news. They were like, yeah. And when we saw the scan, we were like, this is for real. This is really cool. And then like, that would be a cute name for the baby and probably an extremely scucks name to have at school.
I know.
But they were banned from that.
That is, it's quite a harsh law, isn't it?
And obviously we have very restrictive laws about what you can advertise, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, this is my preface.
It's good
but
prefacing.
But now let's talk about
prefacing.
Banned books. So it's the customs that do it first. So this is in like from the 1840s up to the 60s.
Okay.
So you've got banning books. A lot of like saucy French novels get banned.
Ooh.
Emile Zola, this is no longer banned.
Okay.
The Perfumed Garden, which is very racy. The Interpretation of Dreams by Sigmund Freud is only allowed for professional use.
Ooh.
This is a restriction you get a lot of.
That's interesting.
Yes.
So anyone can read Freud now?
Anyone, yes. It's currently fully unrestricted.
My word.
The names of some of these books are very good. Stolen Sweets.
Ooh.
Six Chapters in a Man's Life.
These are all saucy French novels.
These are all, they're saucy various novels, largely French.
Mostly French.
Love the French.
We're also banning Lady Chatterley's Lover, so which is, we'll get back to that later. Henry Miller, which I've read some Henry Miller. Maybe that one should have stayed banned. That's some of the most disgusting stuff I've ever read. Gay Stuff, The Well of Loneliness by Radcliffe Hall.
Sorry, I thought you meant a book called Gay Stuff. I was like, that's radical name for the 1840s.
No, The Well of Loneliness, which is kind of like got some gender, some sexy, like, ooh, am I a man?
That got banned in a lot of places, didn't it, that one?
Very banned.
There was a very famous court case, I think, with Radcliffe Hall.
Yeah, well, so basically, so New Zealand takes takes English case law at this point.
Okay.
And so things change a little bit in 1939 because a policeman goes to a library and he gets out the Decameron. which is like an Italian collection of stories. It's like these rich people are inside because there's like a plague, and so they tell each other these stories, and it's kind of like Italian Canterbury Tales, but a bit more like louche.
Ooh, like, to be loucher than the Canterbury Tales is a wild.
It's very ride. Like, well, they're all poshos, yeah, you know? Yeah. And so he's like, you need to ban this book. And so it goes to court, and by this British obscenity rule, the Hicklin rule, it's deemed to be obscene. So the Hicklin rule is that if something is going to deprave and corrupt those whose minds are opened to such immoral influences, it counts as obscene and it gets banned, right?
Crikey, okay.
And then we overturn that and we say, actually, artistic merit is going to be okay for...
So we now have the art patrol, basically. People being like, that's good art, that's bad art. You can have that book. It's a bit saucy, but it's good art. And
yeah.
You can't have that book because it's a bit saucy and it's crap.
And so the other big thing that happens in that era, so in before that, in 1923, there's a book called Safe Marriage that's banned, which is all about using contraception in marriage.
Don't ban these books.
Whoa.
Yeah. These are useful things. Oh, my God.
And so there's a public outcry about that. And so between these two, you get some changes, and then by the 60s, you get a kind of a new board, and they go through and they I've skipped an important bit. Sorry. I skipped the bit where they banned all of the communist books.
Oh, let's talk about the communists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hold that thought about contraception. Let's get back to the commies.
So, sorry, the history of censorship is very complicated because they don't want you to read anything. Basically, anything that talks about communism during World War II is banned.
Wow.
And for a while after. So, like, the 1951 Waterfront Workers Industrial Action, you're not allowed to write about that. Journalists are not allowed to report on that. It is banned.
See, I feel like I shouldn't be shocked by that, considering we did put a bunch of people on an island that we thought might be potentially problematic for us during the war. But I am still kind of surprised that so recently in history is that was happening.
Well, I think the really shocking thing about this is maybe that, you know, we the only reason we managed to win World War II was with the help of Red Russia. So it's like, it's very like, well, we don't want that happening at home. And so if you go through the 40s, 50s banned stuff, it's all like the workers' call, Karl Marx in his earlier writing, you know, books by like Rosa Luxemburg and stuff,
yeah,
they're all banned.
So communism was banned for a bit, and now we get back to forward to the 60s.
Okay, so we hit the 60s, and they're like, ooh, art. And so they start unrestricting books.
Everyone's all liberated in the 60s.
So Lady Chatterley's Lover, which was the subject of a big court case in the UK, where a lot of, this was like, I think in 1960 or 61, like really early, they had this court case, and all of these big literary figures came forward and were like, it's actually a really good book. It's not just about...
It's not just
dirty. and so in the UK that gets allowed based on literary merit, and
culturally
in New Zealand,
important, smart.
Yeah, and like 7 years later, it's free.
In New Zealand, so it took 7 years for us to be like, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, we're kind of a decade behind. and so Lolita as well gets unbanned. And that's not until, when is that? 1964.
Oh, okay, right.
Yes. And so there's like a little group that are deciding what gets banned or unbanned.
Crikey.
And so after you get this like literary merit thing, you end up mainly getting books about drugs and sex being banned. But the kind of the big thing about New Zealand is that homosexuality was illegal until 1986.
Again, one of those things that shouldn't shock you, but it's still shocking all the time.
Yeah, it sucks. And so a lot of books about homosexuality were banned, and many are still banned, because essentially how our censorship system works now, it's based on appeals. And so,
okay.
Yeah, and so if you want to appeal the book, then you have to like make a case for it.
So this seems like an extremely outdated process.
Yeah, so New Zealand kind of has one of the last like proper centralized censorship things that isn't just censoring like pedo stuff.
That's like, crazy. I had no idea.
Yeah, so our censor has called himself the last censor in the world.
Wow.
And I think people would be surprised at how many, this is kind of why I'm talking about this today, like how many books in New Zealand are still banned or still restricted. If you want to sell 120 Days of Sodom.
Who wrote that?
The Marquis de Sade. You have to sell it in a plastic sleeve with a big R18 sticker on it.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
So yeah, and so there are books like The Song of the Loon, which gets ruled indecent in the 70s and doesn't get unrestricted until 1993, because you need to have, it's not good enough that homosexuality is legal now, you need to have organized groups that want to lobby for these books.
Which is a lot of work for people who are already just out here living their lives.
Yeah, so the Lesbian and Gay Archives in 1993 lobby for a bunch of books to get unbanned, and most of them just end up being restricted. So they're like R16, R18, and that in many cases is kind of as good as them being banned. Crikey. So there was this case in 2013, this author called Ted Dorr, who wrote a kind of young adult book about like kind of a Maori boy who like kind of has to deal with some stuff, goes to school. Family First lobby, because it works the other way as well. If you want to get a book banned, you can lobby.
Shit.
So Family First and a few other groups go to the censor and they say, we think this book, Into the River, is obscene.
I think I remember when this was all happening, actually.
Yeah, and so they go, well, we're not going to ban it. It's not that bad. We'll put an restricted 14 on it. But the issue with that is that, like, libraries and bookstores are not really set up to do ID checks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that essentially is almost equivalent to a ban, because the children's libraries aren't going to stock this young adult book if it's got a 14 certificate on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it's more trouble than it's worth for bookstores.
That is so crazy.
Yeah, and so New Zealand has many, many banned books, many, many more restricted books.
I say, let's get rid of that censorship system. That seems like problematic ass.
And that's us. I mean, to be fair, a lot of, if you can go through this list of like censored books, and a lot of them have names that you're like, Xavier's Super Sex is still banned. And a lot of the books that are also banned are things like Home Workshop Guns for Defense and Resistance.
You're like, well, that can probably be on there.
Well, I mean, it's. I'm not. I can't really. It's a system of government control. Well, if they don't want you to know something, they can restrict the books. And in New Zealand, that is still totally a system of our law.
Heck, someone's texted in to say there's a guitar pedal documentary I really want to watch, but it doesn't have a rating, so I can't watch it in New Zealand.
Ah, I watched that.
If you text us again, maybe Amelia can give you her secret sauce.
The first half of it's really good, but it gets a little bit into an ad at the end.
Hey, thank you for that, Amelia Discreet. I've enjoyed deep diving into banned books very much this morning.
Ah, sorry. Javier also wrote a magic mushroom guide.
Ooh.
Vinaigrette originally referred to small vinegar.
Word salad with Amelia Discreet on 95 BFM.